Hello, friends. We're in the middle of a series that we're calling Election Preparation. Our goal is not to tell you how to vote or to even prepare to vote. Our goal is to talk to us about how we walk through the season of an election together, an event that's a big part of our nation. And based upon past events, there's a feeling, a sense that this could go sideways, that there could be problems and trouble and courts could be involved. And we've seen some of this happen in the past, and I wanted us to think through how we could prepare for such a thing in life, because we're not always prepared for things when events go sideways in our lives. And this is huge. It affects millions and millions of people. Let me begin with a story. About a dozen years ago, a friend of mine invited me to go hunting with him. I go hunting for deer, mostly because I enjoy sitting in the woods all by myself. I enjoy going out early. I enjoy seeing the sun come up. Sometimes I wouldn't even sit in my tree stand. I just sit at the foot of the tree and just watch the world around me wake up. It was such a joy to have that for my soul. And so my friend that I went with is, to say that he's an avid hunter is to be an understatement. He spent months in preparation for the hunting season, and he would set out deer cameras, and he would go and walk the land ahead of time, scoping for signs of deer paths. He would have put out salt licks and feeding stations. He would spend hours and hours and hours. He would get the latest equipment. He would have an entire system for everything that he did. And I would throw all of my non-hunting gear, but cold weather gear, in a bag the day before. I'd show up the evening before hunting season started. We'd have dinner together. We'd get up, we get dressed, and I go. That was the extent that I had. He was just so much preparation. And so for him, opening day of hunting season was kind of holy grail for him. It was enormous. And so the plan was, and usually was, I hunted with him for several years, that we would come together for dinner the night before. We'd have dinner together, and then the next morning we'd get up at 4:30 in the morning. We'd be dressed and ready to leave at 5 o'clock. We'd be in the vehicle at 5 o'clock, driving to the location so that we could be in our tree stands by 5:30 in the morning before the sun would come up. So this particular year, I was in the kitchen at the appointed time. I was there at 4:50 in the morning and ready to go, and he asked me if I would please carry all my stuff out to his truck and put it in the back. And so I had my backpack, my gun. I was all loaded up with my coat and my winter pants and all this stuff. And he handed me the keys, and I walked out. And somehow, between the front door and the truck, in my groggy 4:50 in the morning state, I dropped the keys. It's pitch black. It's opening day of hunting season. And this man has been waiting for this moment for a long time. I didn't intend to do this. I didn't try and do this. But all of a sudden, this big event that he'd been planning for went completely sideways. Now, I'd like to move on with the sermon, but some of you want to know what actually happened, and here's what happened. After about 10 or 15 minutes of frantically searching for those keys in the dark, he finally went and got a spare key somewhere in the house. We were not even staying at his house. Somewhere in the house, a spare key to that truck. We drove to the location. That evening when we got back, we hunted with flashlights and finally found his key. But I remember the overwhelming sense of feelings that I felt in that moment as that whole thing began to you could just tell the tension and the emotion and the feelings over something that affected two people was enormous. And I've realized many times in life how I've been unprepared for those moments when, even when I saw it coming, much less the times I didn't see it coming, I wasn't ready for when life didn't go the way we planned, the way life goes off the rails, and how we're not ready for this. And so, like I said at the beginning, you don't have to be a savant to look ahead just based upon past elections and say, this could very well be ugly. And in addition to that, there are a lot of hurting people right now. Between the economy and COVID, the racial tensions in our country, you could make a very long, long list of reasons why people are hurting right now. And so I want us to think, Pastor Brenda did a wonderful job of calling us to pray, to kind of center. But I want to talk about how our mission and purpose, our identity help us in times when life goes sideways. And today I'm going to be talking about kind of our mission, purpose, and next week Pastor Brenda will be talking about our identity. But how does it help us in moments like this? And there are actually a lot of moments in Scripture where life goes kind of off the rails. And even to Jesus and the people around Jesus. And it's a very interesting study to go and to look at those moments and to see how Jesus and the people around him respond. Just two quick things that you might want to think about before we look at today's story. One of them was the moment Jesus had invited himself and all his disciples to Mary and Martha's house for dinner. When it goes from three people to like more than a dozen people, close to 20 people, it becomes an event. It moves from just an activity, we're having dinner, to an event, right? And Mary is going crazy because she can just see all the ways in which this event is just going to become a giant mess. This is Martha, excuse me. Martha sees all those ways. And Mary approaches it very, very differently. And I want you to ask the question, why? Why does she approach it differently? Yeah. And I have a sense that it has more to do with her identity and how she sees herself in the middle of this than anything else. And Pastor Brenda will touch on those dynamics next week. I want to touch on a different dynamic this week, and this is kind of mission or purpose. And another story that goes sideways is when Jesus feeds the 5,000, because he's been teaching and healing, and he looks up, and all of a sudden, there's all these people that have been here for a very, very, very long time that don't have food. And Jesus is like, well, this is a problem. Now, to be honest with you, if a leadership coach were working with Jesus, they might say, you know, this could have been foreseen. But Jesus didn't need a leadership coach. He stepped into the issue. And today we're going to look at another story that begins to go sideways in Jesus' ministry and what he does about it and what that says to us about how we're to respond in the middle of situations like this. Because what he does is important and powerful. It's in Matthew chapter 9. And this story isn't abundantly clear that things are going sideways. That's not what this story is known for. But it is, and seeing that is critical for us to getting something important out of the story. So in Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God, and healed every kind of disease and illness. Now, I want to make sure, because we just ran through a single verse, and in reading it, we might not see the actual picture, because Matthew's narrating this, and he gives us enough of a hint to see, but I think it's important for us to actually develop this picture in our heads. Jesus is going to all these little towns, and Israel had a lot of little towns. It had these hamlets, these little away places, you know, where there were not a ton of people and not a lot of resources, not big centers of commerce. Just these little out of the away places with small populations of people. Sometimes a town had 200 or less in it. So there was a chance that while they may have had, you know, a kind of a healer or doctor, they didn't have, you know, any kind of level as to what we'd be thinking about, or certainly what was available in the cities. So he was kind of out in the country, and he was in the towns and the villages, and he went to the synagogues and he taught there. He addressed spiritual issues through teaching in the synagogues, and then he went out and he dealt with the spirituality of our physicality as he walked through the villages talking about the good news of the kingdom of God. And it says that he was healing every kind of disease and illness. Now you can imagine for folks that didn't have that kind of access to care, that was huge. And there must have been a lot of people that had issues. I mean, for many of us, just living life, we forget how often our medical professionals help us with some of the most basic things in life. Surgeries and procedures and medicine that in our past have fixed things that have not drug on in life, but that could have. And if we still carried today what we had early in life, it could be a real mess. Broken bones and illnesses and things that just didn't get dealt with over time. And so there were lots of people that Jesus was trying to heal and to help. Lots of people. And they had a whole variety of things. And the picture that Matthew is painting is there are a lot of hurting people. A lot of people with a lot of needs. And as he went from town to town, he went to them. And he saw what they were dealing with. And he helped to bring help to them. But it was not a fast process. Jesus didn't do mass healings. The stories are that he healed people one by one and took the time to be with them and to help them through. And so after we get through what is just the first verse, and he paints this picture, he says, having done all this, when he saw the crowd, so even after he had done all this work, there were still crowds. There was more and more and more people. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. So we don't know how long he'd been doing this, but it says he'd been going from town to town and from village to village in the area, and he'd been teaching and working. And so it was days or weeks that he had been doing this work, and he looked up and there were still crowds in front of him. Now, you and I at that moment may have just been overwhelmed. Jesus is on this tour of help and of bringing God's kingdom and of loving in a very personal way from door to door, old style kind of help. And here is still this massive crowd of people in line waiting. And there's this moment at which it could have very well felt like this is too big. This is going to go sideways. I don't know how we're going to help all these people. And it's in that moment that Jesus is pulled upon. He has compassion. He doesn't turn his back on them, and he doesn't get overwhelmed by what's happening. He feels like a shepherd who has lost sheep. And he turns to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the one in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. And here's what Jesus is saying in this moment. We need help. We need help. There are hurting and lost people. There are people that are broken. There are people that are physically ill. There are people that are dealing with a loss of hope and direction, and they need us. And so Jesus says, Pastor Brennan said pray, right? Jesus says pray, but here's what I want you to pray. And this moment is really important for us to get our heads around what Jesus is asking them to pray. Because sometimes when our world goes sideways, our tendency is to fuss about it. It's to call a friend or to log on to social media. It's to tell the world what a mess things are. It's to proclaim and let everybody know this is a mess and it feels like a mess. Life went sideways. Life is hard. Life went off the rails. And to do that. You know, another reaction is try and create a success or to make something that looks like a success, right? Well, all these other people already got healed. Yes, there's all these people in front of us, but all these other people got healed. So let's focus on just the good. Let's create the success so that others see it. And Jesus wasn't about that either. Nor was he about simply making decisions that appealed to his friends or other special interest groups. What he came down to in this moment was this. Jesus looked at his mission, he looked at his purpose, and he knew, he said so many times, the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. He's come to help the hurting, to free the oppressed, to set others free. And so he looks at his disciples and says, this is the potential to become completely overwhelming for who we are and the resources that we have. So ask the Father to send help because we're not giving up on the mission. We are not going to stop being about the purpose that we're about here in life just because the need is big. We're not going to yell at the people that are hurting. We're not going to get frustrated at those that are here with needs. We're not going to declare that it's somebody else's problem. I mean, think through all of the options that Jesus had and what he chose. Ask the Father to help us because God knows that this mission is critical for his kingdom. And I wonder when the disciples prayed for workers to come and help in the fields where people were hurting, if they were praying for us, you and me, if they were asking God, send people today, tomorrow, in the future, send people when others are hurting. Sometimes, in the middle of an event that becomes a mess, we lose track of our purpose, our mission. Why we're even here? And Jesus refused to do that. He didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. He refocused on what God was asking him to be about. Now, there are moments when all of us need to vent, but I want to ask you, when you do that, how is that helping the hurting? If we walk away, how is that helping the hurting? If we say, well, I cast my vote, how is that helping the hurting? And what I want to appeal to you about is asking you the question, in the middle of all of what's happening in life right now, and especially what's going to be happening in life, do you have a sense of the mission and the place that God has asked you to be about? Because in this particular passage, Jesus is saying, I see a lot of hurting people, and I could use a lot more help with that. And I suspect his prayer wouldn't change today. What would it be like if you and I looked in the middle of whatever happens in the coming weeks and even months for the hurting and helped them? And what if we didn't ask about their political affiliation or who they voted for? What if we didn't ask where they stood on issues, but we were willing to help anyway? What if we decided that that was really our mission and our role in life? Because I suspect that when God told us that our primary two commands were to love God and to love the people around us, that's what he meant. But I find that in the middle of kind of chaos, I get sidelined. I get caught up in my own emotions. I get caught up in my own what I would like to see happen. I get caught up in choices. I get caught up in people who are yelling at me or not yelling at me. All of those kinds of things affect my response, but they didn't affect Jesus' response. Jesus' response was, I'm going to continue to help the hurting. And he says to his disciples, I'd like you to do that. And while we're doing that, I'd like you to ask God to send more help. I would like to invite you through every walk of life, but especially in the coming weeks, to get clarity about your purpose and why God has you here. And for me, I think, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, it's clear to me that God asks us to help the hurting of every stripe and background. And I'm going to tell you, there are people who will unfriend others on Facebook because they don't believe what they believe, and they don't like the comments that they're making. And I'm just wondering what it would be like to say, I'm willing to love and to be a friend, regardless of your race, your sexuality, your background, whatever it is. I'm here to love you and to help you. And if we could keep that focus, that would be incredible. I've said something like this before. I'm going to say it again. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples that, to me, brings clarity in the midst of messes like this time in life is this. They will know you are Christians by, he doesn't say how you voted or who you supported or what platform you're for. He says they will know you are Christians by your love. For Jesus, that was very real. He was on the ground in the towns helping the people. It wasn't philosophical. It never was for Jesus. So, in those moments when life starts to spin, and it doesn't matter whether it's a personal event where that happens, a family event where that happens, or a national event where that happens, I'm going to ask you to stand back for a second, to pray like Pastor Brenda said, and then to ask, what is my purpose? Because Jesus has asked for laborers to come and to help the hurting. And if we see ourselves and our purpose in that way, that might have an even greater effect upon the world than we can imagine. Would you pray with me? Father, we want to thank you for your power and your grace. We ask that in the middle of all that we face, that you would encourage us, give us clarity of heart and mind and mission, and challenge us to follow your example. Thank you for being a God of love, a God of compassion, who is not overwhelmed by the needs that you see and commits to providing in the middle of them and calling us to do the same. Help us to be the people that you call us to be and to follow the mission that you asked us to be about. We pray all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.